Dear listener and fellow story lover, this week's story paints for us a charming example of who we can encounter and what experiences lie waiting for us when we have the courage and take the time to explore our surroundings, both near and afar. When was the last time you took a detour and had an adventure? I hope you enjoy this week's Stories from Before. The Lady of the Mill, A Silhouette, written by Jessie Jeans, read by Selena Cadell by permission of the Lutterworth Press. Music by Stacey Weir. It was one of those glorious days in early spring when the world was full of sunshine that we first met, my old lady and I. Nature, with her charming smile, was perfectly irresistible. She called softly, yet with that far-reaching voice of hers that seldom fails to dominate louder, harsher calls, though one may affect to be too occupied to catch its sound at first. When I heard it that day, my heart responded, and I followed eagerly as the children followed the Pied Piper. Away over a hill, across a wide stretch of country, down a grass-grown lane, until, finding me in a receptive mood, she showed me one of her secret byways. Being afoot, I had travelled in an hour farther into the heart of things than I could have hoped to reach in a lifetime had I been in a car. The beginning of the way was almost concealed in a hedgeside, and the stile was difficult to climb. But once the other side was reached, it was possible to imagine oneself in a totally different part of the country. A softly rolling stretch of green led into a valley from whose side uprose another hill, sharp and steep. Persephone had scattered her young green, not yet lavishly, but sufficient to lift one's heart and head and to bring hope surging at full tide. One thing in particular gave character to the outlook. Across the valley, on the top of the opposite hill, stood an old grey windmill. I was grateful for the beauty of it all, but nature, being generous, is not content to give with one hand only, and this was not to be the extent of her giving. I followed still, down the green slope into the valley, then up, up, and up, for I wanted to know that windmill as much as I had ever wanted anything. I loved it at once, and it has ever since been my friend. To me, it is not a building, cold, grey, dilapidated, but a brave, wise old thing with watchful eyes and a world of character in its wrinkled face. At last I gained the hilltop. How very much taller the mill seemed to be now that I stood beneath it. And how weather-worn. Its windows were broken, dust and cobwebs everywhere, and no sign of life, no meal, flour, or grain. On the ground beside it lay huge sails. They too looked old and decaying, but were evidently not so old as those on the mill. I seemed to see at a glance that they had been brought thus far to replace the worn ones, to give fresh vigour, but had never got beyond being laid, an offering, on the ground at the old mill's feet. The soul of it all held me, till I turned about, wondering whether the owner lived near, and if I might wander inside the building. I am glad somehow that I never did, for, faintly then, and afterwards more strongly, I felt it would have been an intrusion. I loved it, but I was not of it. Had it then someone still living, I wondered, whose life story had been interwoven with its own, someone whose love for it was beyond anything I could feel. As I turned, I saw, for the first time, a tiny cottage, so tiny that it looked a veritable Sychaeus beside its tall neighbour. The sun bathed and warmed its broken red roof, lingered lovingly on its old, old garden, and threw its bright rays like warm young arms round a very old lady sitting in the doorway. She too was tiny, bent and frail, but like the mill, she had a personality which made itself felt at once. Though weird and neglected in appearance, a proud spirit held dominion over the withered body. I felt her pride, and respecting it, soon made friends with her, though with one false move in the advance, she would have closed the door of herself as she would the door of her cottage and barred intrusion. Then I caught a sense of her pride in and for the old mill. Glad was I that I did not betray my pity for its loneliness and decay. I do not think that she would have ever forgiven me. I could imagine the flash of those old eyes if one had dared to pity either of them. Her belief in her mill was as wonderful as it was pathetic. She could speak with regret of the time when the pastureland around had been so many fruitful fields of grain. She could speak with contempt of the farmer's weakness in sending his grain to the new steam mills. But for the old mill, she had nothing but love and pride. I have seen like sentiment in a mother whose heart has been so wrapped up in an ailing child that she refused to see its gradual passing. I learned for the first time that it still did a little work. "How long," said I, "since the mill was in use?" Inferring, as she quickly saw, that my idea was a matter of years. "The mill was working Saturday," was the quick retort, that dared me to be surprised. We chatted after that, as do friends, whilst she took me around his exterior, showing me, and that was the most pathetic touch of all, the new sails that were ready to be hoisted as soon as her son could find time. Had I said in answer that they were decaying and that never, never would they set the mill going, I think our friendship would have ended there and then. She spoke of her husband, the miller, who had been dead so many years, of her large family, many of them in countries far away, of her son who still remained with her. But ever and anon she spoke of the mill, and her glance lingered on it. My eyes too looked on it, and on her, the two inseparables decaying together, yet appearing to one another the same as in the years long gone, when each had worked so bravely and well. "What space," I said, "how I should like to live up here." "No, you wouldn't, not when it blows hard," she spoke triumphantly, as if thinking, "little you know of the mill." And she almost laughed with glee to think of the storms they had weathered in company. I was suddenly awed as I thought of the wild winds raging and shrieking through the sails on wintry nights. We walked together round the old garden in perfect companionship, having found in it a source of mutual love and interest. Here was a splendid herb with which she had cured the grocer's man of a swollen face. Did I like this sweet-scented one? Then I must have some. She fetched a trowel, and though I longed to spare the frail hands, the dim eyes, and the bent back, I knew that I might not offer to dig it for myself. Reluctantly, I said goodbye and came away, stepping quietly, feeling as I turned to the earth's gay young green and the glad bright sunshine, as though I'd been in some old cathedral. I turned from the old that was passing to the new life that was stirring in every leaf and every blade of grass, in every young lamb and every little child that filled its hands with golden celandine. I rejoiced in the ever-renewed youth of the world, but I was proud too of the old things that had helped so uncomplainedly in the world's work. They were among the great ones of the earth, and my heart was bowed in reverence before them. I thought of them both, those toilers, my lady and her mill. Good and faithful servants they, waiting their call to a long rest. Turning back, I looked at the old mill with its gaunt arms stretched skyward, and I wondered when it would come. The end. I hope you enjoyed this short story, one that the author refers to as a silhouette, a dark object against a bright light. I will admit, it has left me somewhat meditative on the old lady and her mill. Has it you? Please subscribe or follow this podcast and share it with your family and friends. I hope you enjoy a lovely week, and I look forward to being with you next week when I again share Stories from Before.